Now, this past weekend was the culmination of two semesters worth of studies for those who wish to be confirmed this spring. We'll have five confirmands confirmed on Easter, and then we'll have three more at Pentecost. It's an exciting time. And many of you may have seen me duck out really quickly from fellowship time to get to the class, because that has been going on this whole time, and I have had the honor, along with Miss Stormy, to teach that group, and it has been a wonderful group of students. This weekend we had our retreat, and one of the things we've been working towards this year is to get the students to write a statement of faith. What is it that you say you believe? When the rubber hits the road, what must you have to believe? And we broke that down together, and we talked about what our creeds say about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and then what redemption means and salvation and all of these things. But the one thing I wanted them to know is that God had written on their hearts that they are loved beyond their wildest imaginations. Somehow, some way to get them to realize that through the muck and all that stuff of being a middle schooler, through all the bullying, the anxiety, the test taking, that God loves them. God has never stopped loving them, and God will continue to love them. You know, those sound like easy words, but if you really put it in perspective, it's kind of difficult. Because I want to go from preaching to meddling really quickly right off the bat. God loves you for who you are, no matter what the wreckage of your past may be. God loves you. It's a little closer to home. I want you to say this with me. God loves me. Say it. God loves me. Do you believe it? God had had enough. His people seemed to break covenant after covenant after covenant, starting with Noah, then we go to the Exodus, then we go on and on till finally the covenant snapped. And Xerxes II from Assyria came in and conquered the northern kingdom. And shortly thereafter, the southern kingdom was conquered by the Babylonians. Their whole way of life was decimated. You may call it, or we may understand it, as a national disaster. Their temple, where they believe God's actually God's big toe to fit in, was now decimated. Where were they to go to celebrate God if not that temple? That's the way they had done it for years and years and years. And now there was no place. Everything was gone. And they were taken into captivity. Jeremiah talks about this weeping prophet. And he cries for his country. He cries because the relationship with God was not what it was supposed to be. And they find themselves by the rivers of Babylon or in Assyria, in foreign lands. And the psalmist even says, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They were devastated people. But then Jeremiah comes through again with another message, a message of hope. And he reminds the people, God is coming to lift you up. And this time, none of the covenant will be about you. None of it will be your responsibility. For God will write within each of us the covenant. So that way, we will know, intrinsically know, what to do, how to be, how to live. God restores us in a way that we have never been restored before. Now, folks, I want you to think of this and how we live or are supposed to live as Christians. We are to live our lives not as a struggle, but to listen to that voice of God that is placed on our hearts, that we automatically know what is called and needed of us because God has given it to us. Now you may say to yourself, yeah, Joe, that's easier said than done. You don't know my story. You don't know what I've gone through to get to this point. So don't talk to me about not struggling. Wouldn't it be nice if we could all just walk through life and go, hee-hee, I'm happy. I'm just happy. No. I think God realizes that we hurt and we struggle and we mourn and we get mad. But the good news is we don't have to stay there. We can be a people of the light who once experience darkness, know where the path is that can lead us back to wholeness. So our faith is not about glitzing through life, as I tell kids, H-A-P-P-Y. It is about serious engagement with God, where sometimes we do go through dark valleys, but we fear no evil, for God is with us, written on our hearts to illuminate the path back to wholeness. And then these people this northern kingdom and southern kingdom, a miracle happened after this divide. It was no longer about division, but they came back together in unity. For after the captivity, there was no northern and southern kingdom. Simply Israel. Hope. Hope. Coming together to be the people of God. So let us remember this day, that in our time of Lent, that anything that keeps us in darkness, let us remember that God will show us the way home. And we will be restored and returned back to the one who created us. And we will rejoice. For that is what we are called to do. May God be with you and grant you endless amounts of mercy. And may the perpetual light of Christ shine on you to give you hope. Amen.